It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We're going to be discussing falls risks for seniors and other things. My guests are Erin Koltvedt. She is the Wellness Classroom Manager at Eastern Area Agency on Aging. And I also have Diana Alexander, who is a yoga instructor at Eastern as well. Thank you both so much for being here today. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
So, Erin, Eastern has had a wellness program for a number of years now. Can you describe what that really means?
So we've had our location at the Airport Mall just about 4 years now, and that's been our brick and mortar for classes, anything from Tai Chi to strength and conditioning, enhanced fitness, which is a cardio and strength class. So that's been going on. But even for several years before that, we were bringing balance programs like A Matter of Balance to our four-county service area. That's Washington, Hancock, Piscataquis, and Penobscot counties. So we were trying to bring fall prevention to the area and also chronic disease self-management programs and falls risk assessments across that whole area for probably 9 years now.
Have you seen the program build from when it first started and it was just a matter of balance and maybe a bone builders class here and there through RSVP, really grown that people are really interested in the Tai Chi and the other kinds of?
Well, it's grown certainly as it comes to the number of participants, but also the diversity of the programs that we now offer. We cover a much broader spectrum of folks and their ability levels. Anyone who is considered perhaps more frail and most often in a wheelchair or with a walker, up to the active folks who have been active the majority of their lives and are simply looking for programming that actually meets them where they are. I've been active my whole life, but I can't do jumping jacks anymore, that sort of thing. But I still want to exercise pretty robustly, so we can meet that person as well. And then we've sort of branched off into more mind-body classes, enhancing our Tai Chi program. So those have really stratified anything from an intro class to an advanced class as far as Tai Chi for arthritis goes. Our yoga program has really solidified into being a simple yoga program that it's really gotten developed into something that our folks look for since it's not on the floor. And then even things like nutrition and healthy steps and healthy eating. So we haven't just grown in a way that we're seeing more and more people in the same programs we've offered for quite a while. We've also diversified, and we seem to be meeting so many more folks of many different ability levels.
Balance seems to be one of your mainstays that you're really, which goes along with not falling. Diana, the yoga program, maybe people think of yoga as you're on the floor, you're sitting like a pretzel. Talk to me about yoga that you do.
I get the pretzel thing a lot. the yoga class that we have at the agency is a super simple program with all kinds of different modifiers. We do work in the chair seated. We do work using the chair as an assist standing for those of us who can stand. And those of us who can't are welcome to modify in any way that they can. It's not the kind of class where you're getting up and down off the floor. You know, it's safe, controlled.
What are the benefits of taking a yoga class?
Oh my gosh, so many. One of the main benefits is mindfulness, connecting the mind with the body. So you're improving your mental and physical health at the same time. Increasing your reaction times, helping your memory stay sharp, all kinds of benefits.
Does it make you stronger physically because you're not lifting a weight or doing cardio? Does it really increase your, along with, I'm sure, balance because you're holding positions, right? Does it make you stronger?
It does. It's great for muscle tone. We're stretching, but we're also using the body's own natural resistance. So we're strengthening the muscles, we're making the muscles more flexible, and we're strengthening the bones as well. It's great for bone density maintenance.
So these classes are offered in Bangor currently. Do other agencies on aging have similar classes to this? So if someone's listening and they're not in this area, do you recommend them getting a yoga class somewhere else?
Absolutely. When it comes to Tai Chi and yoga, your first connection really should be the local agency on aging, whatever's nearest to you. And that can be a Google search or ask Alexa or ask a friend who knows how to ask Alexa to, you know, find Tai Chi for arthritis and simple seated yoga in my area. I can't say it'll be as great as what we have going on, but I would certainly recommend it. The nice thing about our simple yoga program is that each person in the room has a different ability level. They can still get that mindfulness. And I think when folks think of mindfulness, they think it's some sort of Zen relaxation sort of business, which is certainly part of it. But also mindfulness is you having a better understanding of where your center of gravity is interacting with your environment. So I'm not just sitting in this chair. I'm sitting in this chair. It's rocking. I'm 4 feet from a wall. You have more awareness of your own interaction with the space around you so you can react better in case something goes wrong. So
that does increase the balance.
Absolutely.
The balance. Are these classes online? It seems to me I remember that they were recorded at one point and people could do that.
We have some recorded resources, but I think most folks would do better in a live class, especially with something like simple yoga. You have someone with such great expertise in the room that can notice, you know, something's not quite going so right, so let's put a stop to that. So I would recommend doing that first. There are a couple of other online resources that in the event that they can't reach out to an area agency on aging, probably their agency on aging would drive them to, for sure.
Nice. Let's talk about falling. Falls risk is huge among seniors. They either have taken a fall and so they're scared they're going to fall again, or they're just plain scared they're going to fall so they're not doing as much and now their muscles aren't as strong, and it's just a really vicious cycle. So you had given me some information, Erin, that every 11 seconds an older adult is seen in the emergency room for a fall-related injury. That sounds crazy. Yeah. Every 11 seconds?
Every 11 seconds, whether it's, you know, a broken toe or a severe head injury. I mean, that's obviously a large gamut of possible injuries that could come from a fall. But yeah, every 11 seconds in some emergency department in this nation, an older adult is seen for a fall-related injury.
And that most people think falls are a normal part of aging, but the truth is they are not.
They're not. I think folks are less surprised when they hear about an older person falling than they would be if they heard of a younger person falling. But there are so many resources to put in place that prevent falls that, and I guess part of it is you can never know, oh, that's the fall I avoided, right? Because it just doesn't happen. So it's harder to you know, pat yourself on the back for it. But no, falls don't have to happen. They really don't. We have lots of things. And that's myth number one, that, you know, it's going to happen.
We do have a list of myths of falling, but I think you're right. If someone is 75 and they fall, people think, she's older. But if you fell, like, oh, what a klutz. So it changes.
I tell people all the time, this is what happened when I fell in my home, and it was the same exact preventable thing that I hear about other people doing. So don't walk outside in flip-flops in the snow and then come back inside on a laminate floor and not take your flip-flops off. Right. So it doesn't matter if I'm 45 or 75. I did a silly thing. So don't do that.
So
there's fall prevention for you.
So myth number one, falling happens to other people, not to me.
Right. It won't happen to me, but, you know, 25% of older adults fall in their lifetime. So it will happen to you. Let's just assume it will happen to you. Think of all the things we could do to make it not so severe, right? The stronger you are, the less likely you are to get injured. You take Diana's yoga class, your bones get denser.
But you also are more aware of your surroundings because you've taken that mindfulness step.
Yeah.
So you know where your hand is in relation to the door frame better.
Yeah, we talked about that too. Yeah. And what if, you know, that almost fall is a fall that doesn't happen, right? So somebody starts to fall and they're able to stop that. That's not a statistic that's collected, but wow, I bet that's a growing number of folks who almost fall but don't because they engage in fall prevention activities.
And they're stronger, that they could maybe catch themselves without falling.
Mentally and physically, yeah.
And not panicking. So if you start to go, I think a panic sets in. I know it has because I have fallen a number of times. And the panic sets in about, oh, I'm going down.
I'm going down. And that's what the panic is, when you get the timber sort of effect, right? Whereas if you think about, oh, shoot, I'm not going to regain my footing. Diana and I talked about this earlier. Then you crumple. You can crumple safely to the floor, land on your backside. You know, you can find a way to get down to the ground without quite so much damage. But when panic sets in, or frozen, or trying to reach out and grasp, then you get the full body, you know, timber, and you hit your head, and it's catastrophic.
And with mindfulness, you're able to process your reactions. The stressors filtered through the reasoning part of the brain rather than going straight to the panic response. So you're able to take that split second you might have and find safety or some kind of solution.
So to debunk this myth, probably is going to happen to you. So do something to prevent that from happening by taking a class, getting stronger, practicing mindfulness. We have a lot more myths to get through and 6 steps to prevent a fall. And we're going to talk about all of that when we come back with Aaron and Diana. So stay with us. Much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. Aaron and Diana are talking about how the myths of falling. So another myth is, if I limit my activity, I won't fall. If I don't do much, my chances are reduced.
Lies.
All lies.
It's all lies.
Well, we all know that sitting is the new smoking, right? That if you sit for a long time, your health declines, right? Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to get up every 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
Oh, that could be a problem.
Well, I'm just saying that's the word on the street.
Yeah.
But now, if you think about it, how much muscle work are you getting if you're sitting in your recliner?
None.
Good point.
Absolutely zero.
So those muscles, we lose muscle mass as we age anyway. And
you
then
do.
If you don't do stuff, it's just all downhill.
Yeah, and we talked about it. You get stiff.
You get stiff. You lose muscle tone. Your leg muscles can even start to atrophy a little bit. If you're in that recliner for your waking hours, you know, all you're getting up to do is go grab dinner or use the bathroom. You know, you're sitting there with a remote control all day, and it's such a trap people fall into because they're afraid to keep moving because they've hurt themselves in the past.
Right. So you're in that chair and you're thinking, if I hop up out of this chair, I'm going to get hurt, so I'll stay in the chair. But staying in the chair means you are more likely to fall in that very short amount of time that you're not in the chair. So you are increasing your chances.
Because you are weaker.
Yes, you're weaker.
And you don't have the mindfulness, and you're not prepared for if you started to fall, what do I do on the way down?
Right.
Interesting. Okay, another myth. As long as I stay home, I can avoid falling. Don't leave the house, don't fall down.
Well, most falls happen at home.
So there you go.
So chances are slim that's going to be effective for you. I mean, think about the things that we trip over. We trip over pets, mm-hmm. right? We trip over our slippers. Oh, those are all things at home.
Those area rugs, the throw rugs
slide
right out from under you.
Those throw rugs. And the bathroom. We know the bathroom's kind of a dangerous spot, too. So you get your grab bars installed. And
stairs.
Yeah.
Railings on stairs. Yep. Because people are home more than they're out, especially if they're of that age, they've retired.
Absolutely.
So it makes sense that more falls would happen at home. And get rid of the throw rug, seriously, and get better lighting. And sensor lights. So if you don't want to leave your lights on, at least have the motion-sensored lights. You plug them into the outlet and they light up when you walk by.
Absolutely.
So muscle strength and flexibility can't be regained. Myth.
Yep.
Oh,
lies.
Total.
It's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So you may have lost a lot of muscle mass just for the virtue of getting older, but you can regain it and get stronger. And there was a story that I heard a long time ago when I was still at Eastern about a man who started strength training, who used weights, I think he was 90, and after 3 weeks was able to give up his cane because his legs got that much stronger.
I mean, going through the range of motion alone, even without using weights, improves someone's ability to understand their relationship to their space and how to get from A to B without being bent over at the hip, or, you know, they're able to stand upright. And then, yes, you make them stronger. And with strength training, makes your joints more mobile, stronger, and improves flexibility as long as you're incorporating that training. I mean, there's so many good things happening there that I don't care how old you are. If you want to get into and improve your strength and flexibility, we can make that happen.
And body awareness too. Yeah. Body awareness is no small thing when it comes to being safe as you get older, especially when you're wanting to continue to live in your own space.
Yep. Independence.
When you say body awareness, what do you mean?
That mind-body connection, okay, where you're aware of your surroundings, but also aware of your body within those surroundings. So you're able to kind of know where you are in your own space.
So maybe not walking off. I've known several older people who've done this, missing that last step of the stairs because they're kind of rushing.
Right, yep. Exactly.
Posture improves definitely through mindful activities too. Yeah. You breathe better, so you stand up taller. So next thing you know, your chin and your eyes are level and you have a much better bearing on the horizon. And next thing you know, your balance improves.
And you know your left from your right.
Yeah.
Okay. So another myth, taking medication does not increase my risk of falling.
Nope. Any medication can increase your risk of falling, especially if you're new to it, because it'll change how you feel in your own body, right? Mm-hmm. There's a chance that it could. Anyone who takes four or more on a regular basis is automatically at a greater risk for falling. So we recommend that folks check in with their pharmacist often, if not quarterly, because as we age, our reaction to the usual dose of medication, let's say you've been on something like thyroid medication for 25 years, right? Mm-hmm. But as we age, our body doesn't necessarily utilize that medication the same way. So maybe the old dose doesn't work as well, or it starts working too well. In fact, it goes in the other direction. And so we need a reduction in our dose. So that goes across the board for medication. So any medication can increase your risk, regardless of whether or not you believe it. Stay in touch with your pharmacist for sure.
And a lot of medications by nature cause dizziness or sleepiness. In general, if it says don't operate heavy machinery on the label, then maybe you should be a little more careful walking around your home on that medication.
That's a good indication.
Maybe you are the heavy machinery that you're operating at the time.
Think of it like that, yes.
But that's a good point. Someone may think, well, I'm not driving a big truck or a tractor, so it doesn't matter. But the effect of that, that's more of a safety issue for somebody else and yourself. But the effect of that, that's a really good point. Now I'm going to go up the stairs, or God forbid, down the cellar stairs that are poorly lit and a little kind of steep and sketchy. Okay, good point. So watch the medications, do a brown bag with your doctor or pharmacist at least once a year, because sometimes doctors don't always know. They give you stuff, and if the medical records aren't up, it's a thing. When we come back, we will talk more about the myths, and we'll squeeze in ways for you to prevent a fall. So stay with us. We will be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. So we're chugging along with our myths about falling. And we have number 7. I don't need to get my vision checked every year, which is a tricky one because I don't think Medicare covers vision checks. So people may not do it if they haven't got enough money. But it is important to do.
It is absolutely important, especially if you notice that your readers aren't quite working the way you thought they were. Or
if you've had glasses your entire life like me and have had to get it checked every couple of years, once you start to get a little older, maybe a little bit more often, bit more frequently.
And I think, too, what we see sometimes is folks who have the bifocal, trifocal, that doesn't always stay calibrated the way it needs to be, that allows for someone to be able to stand up and suddenly look a distance away and then be able to walk right away. So, or if you're taking off your readers, the time it takes for your eyes to sort of adjust to your surroundings and finding the horizon and understanding the distance you have between you and the horizon can change.
And it doesn't take much for the vision to be off to really, I got very dizzy and thought, what is wrong with me? And I realized I had my readers on and I was headed to the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. See,
so it makes everything very distorted. And another myth, using a walker or cane will make me more dependent. Lies.
Yes. Lies. You already know this one.
Using a walker or cane will keep you safe so that you can get stronger.
Yeah, it'll help you maintain your independence. And I know that folks feel like a stigma.
They do, yeah. But it's a tool. It's like glasses.
My mom likes to keep snacks in hers. Now she's like, don't even have to hide
it's
snacks.
It's handy.
Right. She puts her purse on it.
Pockets.
And nobody looks in the walker base, right, for snacks. They're like, you know, grandma, where are the snacks? And they look in her purse. They don't see any snacks. And they figure she doesn't have any. She hides them in the seat.
Okay, I can get behind that. I love that.
That's genius. No joke.
I'll tell a story of my mother quickly that she wanted no part of having a walker, and she was becoming unbalanced and would hang on to me. And when I suggested a walker, nope. I need to be independent. Like, but if I'm attached to you, you're not independent because you can't do anything if I'm not there. So that made sense to her, and she got a walker, and now I never know where she is. She's out and about. She's running the roads. She's got the walker. She throws it in the car, and we're good to go.
Perfect.
Because it's a tool. It's like glasses. Nobody worries about wearing glasses. So it's not a social status symbol or stigma. It's just a tool.
The canes can look really cool, too.
Oh, I've
seen some really cool
canes. Fine. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little duct tape around those is gorgeous. Because it's all colorful. So another myth, I don't need to talk to my family members or my healthcare provider if I'm concerned about my risk of falling. I don't want to alarm them, and I want to keep my independence. So if I'm telling people that I'm a little unsteady, it's next step is the home. That's what people worry about. Right?
Okay, so we know that there, especially in the state of Maine, we have no such thing as the fall police.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, no. Just because you fall doesn't mean someone's going to sweep you up and take you somewhere. There's no spots. There are no beds. So let's not get it twisted. There's nowhere for you to go.
No. There is that. There's a waiting list for most places you have to be. No one's going to put you in a home because you're unbalanced.
Right.
Well.
What's going to wind you up somewhere in a rehab facility is you falling because you didn't tell someone.
Right. Exactly.
And you get injured and now you're.
Yes.
And so when we think about that, right, if you have a plan, like let's say you have a conversation with your mom, dad, you know, loved one. You know, if you fall, what's our plan going to be? If you fall in the basement, what's our safety plan? If you fall in the bathroom, what's our safety plan? It almost always is. Well, I'm going to keep my cell phone on me. Okay, great. As soon as you have a plan in place, the fear kind of goes away. And the next thing you know, mom or dad is a little steadier on their feet. And everyone's at a little bit more ease because, well, we have a plan. And then if you have these regular check-ins, like, if I don't hear from you by noon, maybe I'm going to be concerned. Right?
Yep.
Just put that plan in place.
Fear and lack of confidence is something that can cause you to be unsteady on your feet overall. You know, having that confidence, knowing that you are safe, you're going to be able to process what's happening better, quicker, and safer.
Right. Gets your shoulders down out of your ears. You have a much more normal gait. Your arms swing more naturally. And there's a fall prevention strategy right there.
Yep.
And strength training, critically important, too, to go along with that.
Yes.
So we've talked about the myths, and you really addressed these, but the six steps to prevent a fall. Quickly, Erin, recap those six steps to prevent a fall for me.
So the number one is to find a good balance and exercise program, and we recommend checking in with your agency on aging, but whatever it is, don't let anything get in your way, even if it's just standing up and down out of a chair 10 times and trying to balance on one foot while holding onto the kitchen counter, right? There's two things right there.
Do it.
After that, talk to your healthcare provider. If you have a concern about a risk of falling, mention it, right? And share your history of recent falls. Regularly review your meds with your pharmacist. Get your vision and hearing checked. Keep your home safe. We've talked about that. And talk to your family members.
Let them know.
Yes, please.
Erin Kolkvet, Diana Alexander, thank you so much for being here. This was great information. I appreciate it. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.